Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Material things and money and all these things are great, but when your marriage goes through the test of fire, those things are not going to be important. It's you two being able to come together and face those battles together.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey angels, make sure to head over to my website, AishaChristina.com, to download my free guide on idolatry. I promise it's really going to bless you. If you are interested in preventing delay in your life and you want to get rid of certain idols, this is the guide for you. Click the link in the description box below.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I finally got my girl, Sarah Alova, on this podcast. All glory to God, because truly, I have been waiting and wanting for this moment. And finally, we were able to make it happen. Just a brief introduction. My girl, Sarah Alova, she's an author. She's a phenomenal woman of God. I actually discovered Sarah from TikTok and I started following her because I would always see her doing these videos. And I'm like, oh, I like this girl. And then she messaged me and was like, hey, like, I love your YouTube channel. And I'm like, wait, you know me? Like, wait, what's going on? Then throughout the, I guess we've known each other now for about a year or
yeah,
maybe.
About a year now.
Yeah, about a year now. And then Sarah was so gracious enough to invite me to Dallas to be on a panel for her brunch that she had. And it was just really such a phenomenal blessing. Sarah, welcome to Quality Queen Control.
Hello.
Oh, and I also forgot this one last thing. I remember you actually had me as a guest too for your private membership program as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
If there's one thing that Sarah is she is not only a woman of God, but she's also a connector. This girl knows so many people. So many people love you and respect you and adore you, Sarah, like as they should. And also I do too. And you were just, what I have witnessed in our friendship, what you've managed to put together and how you've made things happen truly astonishes me. I mean, you are the definition of really living by faith and walking by faith. Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that I know a little bit about you, all these different things, but I really am curious about your testimony. You know, I want to hear about it all. I know you were married at one point. I want you to touch on that. I want you to touch on everything about your journey, about how it started to where you are right now and your career as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for the warm introduction. Okay. One thing about you is that you're always going to give people their flowers. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I feel the same about you. I think like when we connected, we just hit it off. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been watching you on YouTube for so many years. Like when it came to like dating and men, I was like, oh, Aisha Christina is on. I gotta watch her, okay?
Period.
Okay. But going into my testimony, I was previously married. It was unequally yoked, you know, young, dumb, and in love, and you think you have it all figured out. I think I was like 20. About 20. And didn't have like a wedding. We literally just went to the courthouse, and it was just so unequally yoked. And I learned a lot in that because I was a Christian, but I wasn't a woman of God. And there's a difference between actually having a relationship with Christ versus just going to church and still sitting behind the scenes, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how that got started.
How long were you married though?
2 years.
So what was that divorce like though? Like what you mentioned equally yoked, but how? What are the details? If whatever you feel comfortable sharing, of course.
Yeah, I'm an open book. I think that at that time, I wanted the exciting guy. I remember I was dating a guy and he was in love and all of these things, but he was like safe. He didn't drink. He didn't party. He didn't have the thrill at the time that I was looking for. And at that time, I'm like 19. He was talking about marriage and kids and getting serious. He was older than me. I think he was about 25, 26. So here I am, never drank before, never partied before. And he's wanting to have kids immediately. Terrified. Broke up with him. Found the fun guy, right? The guy that loves to party, who, you know, gets the girls. I'm like, yeah, I want that. Baby, you get, you know, I learned my lesson through that, right? So going through that and with the trust issues and like even the friends that he was hanging around with that were, you know, bad influences. I mean, like they were like cheating on their wives type friends. So it's like, okay, the Bible scripture says, bad company corrupts good character. So although you may have good intentions, who you bring around you will influence you to, you know, do bad things. And it was just not good. And I'm grateful for it, though, because, again, everything happens for a reason. Like, if that did not happen in my life, that would not have pushed me closer to Christ like I am now. And I tend to learn life lessons the hard way, okay? I'm one of Christ's hard-headed daughters, okay? So sometimes we have to go through trials and tears before we get the revelation of, okay, now that I know better, let me do better. But, yeah, that's how, and I remember, like, even when the divorce was finally finalized, it's like, it almost feels like, I don't even know if I can't say death, but I can just, it's something that it's worse than a heartbreak. You feel like, okay, this is the person that I'm going to do life forever with. And yes, we're imperfect. And yes, we go through trials, but this is really an end. It's like, there's a mourning. There's a mourning that takes place. And I remember us, like, I signed the divorce decree and then he signed it. And it's just like, after that, you have to like take this deep inhale and exhale. And you're just like, okay, where do I go from here? What do I do next? Move back to my mom's house. And there was a lot of shame. I think a lot of women that go through heartbreaks, so if you've been previously married, there's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of questioning that goes in place. And I come from an African household. So it's if you come from immigrant parents and you do things your own way, they're a lot harsher, too. So, yeah, it was a lot in that season. This is what, 6 years ago now.
Wow. Wow. So what would you say, aside from that being sort of like, would you say that's the catalyst or a stepping stone into what made you dive deeper into the things of God? So after your divorce happened, did you immediately start cracking open your Bible and saying like, all right, God, I surrender all to you? What was that?
Girl, no.
What was the catalyst?
I was outside. I was like, I'm single, ready to mingle. I was not ready to mingle, but it's like in that time, that was my coping mechanism. So I would make bad company as friends and I would just party and drink. And that's what was numbing my pain as far as coping with it. And I remember that he moved on immediately. Like, I mean, he had someone like the next week, and I wouldn't say stalking, but I was just like, how did you move on so quickly? And all these other questions. And it brought like a deep depression. And I remember one day I was battling suicidal thoughts. Like the enemy came in and was telling me lies. And I pondered like, maybe I should go through with it. And I remember looking at a knife and just the thoughts of the enemy like peeping in my mind. And I remember like hearing the voice of God telling me not to go through it, like not to go through it. Like at that point, when you, like someone that you think that you're going to spend the rest of your life with and it doesn't go the way that you thought and they move on and you're drinking and you're not in the right mindset, you're like just coping with, you're going with the flow. You're finding unhealthy coping mechanisms to live. And between suicidal thoughts and I even all of a sudden I would see like YouTube ads about love spells. Like, oh, if you want to get an old lover back, you could do love spells. And even like the enemy just planting all these things in my mind. But I didn't go through any of those. I was just like, you know what, God, I surrender to you. That was the moment that it wasn't an overnight process that I became a woman of God and I knew scripture and speaking in tongues. It was like a gradual process where God was giving me the strength to carry on.
Did you also happen to find like a church home in this process as well? Like a lot of the times, I know you mentioned you were out partying and all these different things and that it's a gradual process, but I want to get more into the weeds of like the day that you had that moment where you were like, God, I'm going to dedicate to you. Because the thing is, for me personally, being a Christian technically all my life, but not really realizing the gravity of the cross that we have to bear as disciples of Christ. You know, I started my journey in 2016 and then kind of fell off a little bit due to things that happened to me, you know, in my career and on my journey. But I have found that, to be honest, there are moments that I feel like I'm not, I don't know how else to word it, but maybe not prioritizing as much as I should. Because Christianity is a lifestyle change, right? It's you changing your life and surrendering it to Christ. And so it's interesting hearing different people's testimonies and their stories, what that journey has looked like. And a lot of the times I find that people that may have not grown up in church, it seems like once they find like their way, they kind of really stay a little bit, maybe it's a little bit easier for them to stay maybe on the narrow path. And so I'm curious if on this journey that you, once you were on the path, you were like, all right, this is it. I'm giving up everything. Like, even when it comes to relationships and purity, what was that transition for you like? When you finally made the decision to dedicate yourself, what did your dating life look like then?
Oh my God. God was so gracious with me, because when the day that I went 100% full in, I remember that's when the Lord was telling me to move to Nashville, and this was early 2021. So I'm becoming, you know, a better believer. I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm hearing the voice of God. And he told me to surrender everything like Abraham and to follow him and to move to Nashville, a city I've never been to Nashville. I don't know anyone in Nashville. At this time, I had my business as a makeup artist that was doing well, and God told me to surrender everything and move. And I packed up my car, moved by faith. I didn't even, after paying back all the brides that I owed and closing my shop down and paying the fees, and I literally moved broke, quite literally. And that's when that was my true surrender, me accepting the call, me moving by faith, not even telling my family, because I already knew my family would be, they would question me, and I know my family. And I was like, I'm not, either I hear from the Lord or I'm crazy. So I'm going to put this theory to a test. And I moved by faith in everything that I needed. I mean, the job, my apartment, the favor that I needed, he provided every step of the way. I remember like driving to Nashville. I had like a 13-hour drive from Oklahoma City, playing gospel music, crying my eyes out, fasting. And I'm like, Lord, I'm truly surrendering. And that was the birth of everything. When I truly let go of leaning into my own understanding as far as my finances, my credit, all these other things that we look into the world. And I'm like, Lord, I know I hear from you and I'm following you 100%. And with the dating, Lord, the Lord was really gracious with me, because I was always the girl that had a man. I've always was like, I would never have been single, always had somebody. So that was when God was really changing me to be dependent on him, not a man. And that was a transition, because I feel like, and this is gonna be a little TMI, how do I say this correctly?
Girl, say it all. We want to hear it.
Your girl was still fornicating, right? Like, I was still, you know, had a little sneaky link. I still, you know, hey, big head, what you doing? You know, even though I had the call, but that's where God was so gracious. Because I remember even when I was in Nashville, and this was like when my ministry just first started, and God is like, he's pruning me, changing me. And I remember I was on my way to a Sneaky Link's house, and I'm hearing the voice of God as I'm driving there. Like, I'm driving there, I'm like, oh yeah, we finna add, you know, add. I'm hearing the voice of God literally in that moment saying, don't go, don't go. Literally while we were having sex, I'm hearing the voice of God saying, you're not supposed to be doing this, Sarah. You're not supposed to be here, Sarah. So it was like, even if I wanted to sin, he would not let me. Like, I'm like, bro, I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's when the conviction started growing. I kept hearing the voice of God and I truly surrendered the temptations of having sex too. So yeah.
and what has that journey been like? Wait, Sarah, if you don't mind, how old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh yes, I forgot. You a baby. Oh my gosh.
Okay. We're only 2 years apart. 2 years apart.
I know,
apart.
We're only 2 years apart. I'm so dramatic. I always do this. I will tell you, you know, get in your 30s, ovulation. I don't know the science behind it, but something shifts, something changes. And it's like being abstinent and really dedicating and, you know, really living by the standards of what God wants us to do in as far as purity goes. It can definitely be really, really challenging surrendering to that, especially when you really like someone and like God created intimacy for a reason, because it's a beautiful thing, and also it is, when done in the biblical context, it is a form of worship. And so I think it's like, honestly, I say all this to say to people that are out there that are watching this or listening to this, like, it is absolutely worth the wait, because we all have done things that we shouldn't have did out of the will.
Yeah,
none of us really know what it really feels like to do it in the will. Don't you want to see what that's like? Like, aren't you kind of curious about like what? Imagine like going home to your man, and it's giving very much. It's holy. It's a holy thing all of a sudden. It's like, to experience that is so wonderful. And so I know that definitely presents its own set of challenges for those that are trying to hold on. But I will say it actually does get a little bit easier along it the does. Way. There are some times that it may be a little bit different than others due to like just hormones, really, to be honest. But outside of that, you know, and also, what do you do when you do finally get a man and now you're put to the test of, am I really going to live? It's easy to, it's out of sight, out of mind when you are single and there's no one on your phone. But what happens when there is someone around? What do the limits look like within? Have you had an experience, if you are comfortable sharing, if you had an experience where you have dated someone and now these boundaries are having to be put to the test?
Yeah, for 100%. I think that having someone that has the same reverence of the Lord makes things a million times easier. I'm not saying that the temptations are not there, because we're human and this is a godly concept that the enemy has screwed in regards to lust. But it's one of those things where even now I am dating, and just him wanting to wait until marriage to him wanting to lead me in that area. Right.
Girl, wait, what? Hold up. Now you better tell me about this after. Okay, I continue. I'm sorry. I just had to.
But it's one of those things where I remember, like, if I was dating a guy that did not fear the Lord as much as me, we were not 100% equally yoked. I felt like I was the only one that was holding on to this thing. And the temptation was a lot more. And I think that when you have somebody who respects you and has the same reverence of the Lord and they desire to also wait until marriage, it's a lot more meaningful. And then you also have someone that can hold you accountable, because sometimes there's days where I'm weak and he's like, we can't, we're not doing this. We're waiting until marriage. And there's moments where he may be weak and I'm like, oh no, we're waiting. We're waiting. Sorry. You know what I mean? And past situations where I was dating someone or talking to someone that did not have that same reverence, it's like any chance that they got, you know, they're trying to have sex with you. So I think that's been a significant difference thus far as truly being equally yoked and being with someone that loves the Lord as much as you do.
So two things. What would you say to people that feel like, oh, well, just because someone is not where you are doesn't mean that you shouldn't like wait around for them? What is your opinion on that? Because I have my own personal opinion about that statement.
Waiting as far as what?
Like, oh, wait, if someone is not where you are in your faith as you, why can't you wait around for them to come to God in the way that you currently are? What do you feel about situations like that?
My perspective is that everyone has free will. So if that's something that you desire, I think even scripture lets us know that it's not good for a believer to be yoked with an unbeliever. But in case you do, right, because there are people that don't listen to scripture and do whatever they want to do anyways, it's you have to suffer the consequences as far as always praying alone and being the covering of your family by yourself. And I've even coached women who married men who were not strong in the Lord, and they always complain about, I feel like I'm praying by myself. I feel like I'm in warfare by myself. And it's something that I don't want that for myself. I think that for me, being equally yoked as far as his reverence for the Lord is 100% important to me. Now, he may not have to be as spiritual mature as me, as far as he doesn't have to speak in tongues and he doesn't have to be a prophet and all these, he doesn't have to be on that level as far as, I guess, maturity in Christ. But what I do look for is his willingness to grow in Christ and his own personal relationship with Christ. Like, am I having to tell him to pray? Am I having to tell him to go to church? That's a red flag. If he has his own personal relationship, like this guy that I'm dating now, like I see him pray. It's not even for show. Like it'll be something where he'll duck off and go to the prayer closet and just pray or I don't know. It's just it's completely different from previous guys that I've dated to where I felt like I was their mom nagging them to pray. So check their fruits and know what you're willing to handle. I think that, you know, material things and money and all these things are great. But when your marriage goes through the test of fire, those things are not going to be important. The one thing that's going to hold you guys together is if you guys both have a solid foundation in Christ. What happens if somebody gets sick or he loses his job or there's tension in the marriage or there's warfare? What do you guys do? It's you two being able to come together and face those battles together. And there are women that do it by themselves because they did not choose correctly.
Wow. I mean, that was a fantastic answer. I mean, I know for me as well, like,
yeah,
for me personally, I have always been of the belief, which is why I was curious to hear what your opinion was, that the man of God that is for me is going to be someone that is more closer aligned with where I'm at spiritually. Again, maybe doesn't necessarily have to be like speaking in tongues like in the way that I do or whatever, or actually no, I would like him speaking tongues, I'm not gonna lie, but he doesn't have to like be preaching that, like you don't have to be an aspiring preacher or anything like that. I don't really necessarily need that, but the because when we look at the biblical hierarchy of how a household is supposed to be run, like it is very important God is at the top and that the man is able to lead you so that in moments where you're weak, he is strong and vice versa. That cannot be present if this man has, you're the one that is more spiritually mature. That's why I feel the way that I do about unequally yoked relationships.
Because
that's the reality of it. So all the people that say like, well, girl, you can't always expect people to be where you're at in a relationship because you never know who God is going to send you. That's for you. I know who God's going to send me for me.
Amen.
I feel there's an inner knowing that I know, and I know it with conviction. So it's like, I don't really subscribe to any other rhetoric in that regard. But yes, I'm very happy that you shared that. And so with your life and transitioning from being the party girl, drinking, having fun, all these different things. And to your point, God is so kind and he is so gracious because when we all start out, we are so different from when we started out. You know, when you start out, like God is gonna, as they went, they were healed. It says in the Bible, as they went. Yeah. And a lot of the times we have this perception that, all right, when I get it all together, then I'm gonna give it to God. It's like, no. As they went, they were healed. We have to go. We have to step out on faith. That's what it's all about. And one thing that I love that Pastor Jerry Flowers says is he says that the opposite of faith is not fear. It is sight. Amen. And I stand on that, because what does life look like when nothing in the physical realm is showing evidence of what it is that we're hoping and believing God for, but we still have to hold on to that. So in your transition of, you know, partying and all these different things, have you had friendships drop along the way? How has your faith affected your friendships and your community?
100%. I think that when I gave it all to Christ, he opened my eyes in regards to the type of friends that I was keeping close. Even dear close friends, I mean, best friends for years, unfortunately had to disconnect myself and just love them from a distance and pray. Because, you know, some of the people that I was connected to, not to judge them, but it was more like I knew that they were bad company and they were going to pull me back of a lifestyle that I no longer desired. Because again, when God calls you, he's calling you to greater. He wants you to flee from sin and temptations. And I knew that the old company that I was keeping were not going to keep me up to that standard, biblical standard. So I went from like being very codependent in regards to relationships, in regards to friendships, to now like completely being 100% alone and just having Christ as my best friend. I mean, for a year and a half, where anything that I needed, conversations, and then him giving me discernment to navigate who really likes me, who doesn't like me, who's jealous, who all these things came from that isolation season in my wilderness where it was just me and the Lord, and not being dependent on anybody but him.
So did you ever receive any negative feedback in regards to your friends saying like, oh, like what's up with you? Like why, like since when have you changed? Because easy to talk about these things in hindsight and be like, yes, I had to give it to God and let it go. But really, like they're mini deaths. These are like deaths, and we have to grieve the loss of these relationships and grieving the loss of people that we thought were our friends. And they talk about how judgmental Christians are, but yet we're the ones that are being judged because of what we believe in, and it not aligning with some people that were in our lives before. So what was that severance like? Like, you know, with your friendships, like was there a formal conversation or was it a natural evolution of we don't speak about it, but we know what's up?
It was a disconnection, a natural disconnection. I remember one of my closest best friends since middle school, quite literally, you know, she was doing a couple of things that I did not like, and I brought it to her attention. And it was one of those things where it's like, you're judging me, and I don't like this. And it was just like that tension of you're being called to serve God and do better, and someone that you may love and that may be dear to you is not there yet. So I have two options, is either to, you know, fly or sink, is in terminology of I don't want to be weighed down by anybody or anything that is going to prevent me from my purpose and calling in life. So oftentimes we have to make that decision because, again, the people that we may keep may be the same people that may be keeping us from our full potential in Christ. I think in scripture, in the book of Joshua, it's called, there's a passage about the cursed possession where God told them instructions in regards to, you know, go to this camp and you're going to overtake them, but don't take anything from this camp. There was somebody in his camp that decided to steal one of the possessions. And because that person decided to steal the possession, they lost a lot of the battles. They lost a major battle and a lot of people died. And I think about that as far as like friendships, like there's certain people, even relationships that women could have been graduated or you could have reached this full potential of life. But because you attached yourself to this toxic man or this toxic friend, it prevented you from the full potential and calling that God had for you in your life. So in that moment, I remember times that I was in a relationship that was toxic. It was not serving me. And I feel like I could have been a lot further in life had I not had that particular person in life. And I think that's the same type of mindset that we need to have in regards to just anybody that we keep, our friends, our relationships, even family members. Because again, not all family, scripture says, you know, who are my brothers and my sisters? Who are my family?
Yeah, I mean, it really is true. I mean, that saying in the Bible where it says bad company corrupts good morals, it is so true. And when I think back in the day, I always used to think to myself, like, oh, like, just because my friends are doing certain things doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Studies have shown, even on a scientific level, you become most like the five people that you hang out with the most. That's why when you hang out with certain people, you find yourself like saying some of the things that they say.
The terminology.
The terminology. You start to adopt it as your own, which just goes to show you are every bit more impressionable than you actually think you are. And that's for everyone on this. That's being a human being. You know, we are actually way more impressionable than we realize. And so we do, there is no world where you can juggle both things. And I think coming to Christ, we do, it's uncomfortable at first, right? You go through that phase of like, all right, I don't want to be too much of this, because if I am, then I you know, I don't want them to think I'm like judging them. But in the end, what's crazy is they're going to think that of you anyway, right?
Like, I agree.
I have been a Christian my entire life, and a lot of my friends have naturally, just so happened, I got serious about my journey. They got serious on their own, and I got very blessed. But there have been some individuals in my life where they haven't made that crossover, and there had to be a severance in relationship, because even in me doing my own thing, me living my life to the best of my ability, discipling after Christ, made them still feel judged when I wasn't even talking about them. I was not doing anything to them.
Your presence alone provides them the conviction, and they don't like that conviction, so they'd rather just keep you away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly. And so that's going to happen, like, on this journey. Like, there will be friendships that will come to an end. And you know, I think even in your case, it was nice that it was kind of a natural evolution and it was amicable. I know there are people out there that it wasn't. It was, you know, a hate campaign. Oh, you think you're better than me, or you know what I mean? And it was a lot more difficult. And so we pray for those people. But what about your career now? What made you realize on your journey, like, wait a second, these are the gifts I'm operating in. It turns out I'm a prophetess. Like, what's going on? Or I don't know if that's the office that you say that you do walk in, but how did you recognize the office that you walked in?
Confirmations, like your dad saying, hey, is that Prophetess Sarah? And I see da 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 da, and I'm like, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't call myself that. I just think that I just want to be a servant of the Lord. It's whatever people call me, teacher, leader, minister, prophetess, whatever the case is. I don't really go by. I'm very, I just want to serve the Lord. So I think as far as walking into my calling and my gifts, again, going through the trials and tribulations of my past was truly a blessing, because when I gave my life to Christ, he gave me purpose. Like, between my ministry and hosting these events and doing things for the homeless in Dallas and just being a blessing and stepping into the marketplace as far as providing coaching sessions and writing books. And I love what I do. Like, this is purpose driven, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But I understand too that the trial and tribulations of going through the divorce and the suicidal thoughts and all these things had to happen for me to have this full revelation. So it's truly a blessing. Like Genesis 50 verse 20, what the enemy meant to hurt you, God used it for your good, truly.
Yes.
So,
amen. Yeah. I remember you had a testimony, one amongst many that you have, where you were sharing the fact that you went from literally like living out of your car to getting this invitation to be in like a $1 million house.
Yeah. I went through this eviction process and I lost everything. And there was a woman of God that I was connected to through this business mentoring group. And we barely knew each other, and she was in Nashville. We've literally just exchanged a few conversations, and I told her my situation, and she welcomed me into her home. And I literally was staying with her for like maybe about 2 weeks before we went to a conference in Chicago. I scrapped up what I had and I got my my ticket. We shared a hotel room with three other women of God. It was four of us in a two-bedroom hotel. Never again. But it was like, I was so hungry. I'm like, Lord, I know you're calling me to Chicago. I know I'm going to receive favor and blessings at this conference. So I spent what I had, went to this conference. People recognized me from my TikTok, and God was really working with me with pride. Because sometimes, you know, when you have a following and you're going through trials and tribulations, it's a very humbling thing. And in that moment, God told me to go to the mic. And in that mic, in that conference, I just like, hey, I lost everything. I'm staying with this woman of God here temporarily, but I still trust in God. Like, I didn't care at that point. I just wanted to share my testimonial, because there were these women of God on stage that were like making six, seven figures. And what inspired me to even tell my testimony was all of them were telling about, they were all telling their testimony and how they got there, between selling their homes or going through a divorce or losing everything. They just shared their, because a lot of the times we see people at the top, but we never see like the journey that they had to endure to get there. So that gave me the courage to go on stage and tell my testimony. And that just opened the floodgates of heaven. When I mean favor, like women came up to me, they blessed me. One woman in particular that I was sitting next to, she's a business coach, and we connected, and I didn't think anything of it. We exchanged numbers, and we had like a girls' night, holy night. Like, we just went out and grabbed food, and it was like really cute mocktails and stuff like that. And I remember coming back from Nashville, going back to Nashville, and the next day get a text from him like, hey, I'm actually going to be in Sarasota, Florida. I'm staying in this $1 million Airbnb. If you want to come, get a ticket. Girl, I found the cheapest flight that I could. It was like $105. I flew myself over there, and she gave me like a lot of knowledge. She gave me like one-on-one coaching. It was like a VIP day, one-on-one coaching for free, where she told me how I can scale my social media, gave me tips in regards to how I can start coaching. And it was just like a gift from the Lord, quite literally. And it was a wonderful experience, because it was literally like a night and day transformation. One day I'm literally on a friend's couch, and the next day I'm literally chilling in this $1 million Airbnb beachside, eating at Ruth's Chris. This woman of God literally took care of everything. I still talk to her today. I love her. But it was like a night and day transformation of like truly walking by faith and trusting God, and he will position people and put people to favor you and just take care of you. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Sarah, because I often find that I'm a very detailed person when it comes to sharing like testimony and journeys and things like that. And it's, you hear people literally all the time say like, oh yes, I lost everything, and now I make six figures a month. And it's like, okay, but how? Like, we want to know the step-by-step process of how, so that we can see God's provision in your life. And so here you have a situation, like you said, where you lost everything. And then this woman gave you not only a break and a place to stay, but she also helped equip you with tools, which is so much of God's provision to use for your own business. Talk and about a gift.
And I even in that season, I knew my birthday was approaching up. So this time period was August, and the Sarasota, Florida thing happened like beginning of September. And I remember telling God a couple months ago, like, Lord, for my birthday, I don't know how, but I would love to be by a beach. I would love to be by a beach and just have a break. I did not know that, hey, you're going to go through this eviction and you're going to lose everything and you're going to be on the couch, but just trust me in this, because I already positioned someone to favor you who's going to give you that luxury experience that you've been praying for. It's just not going to look what you thought it was going to look like, quite literally.
Wow. Yeah. So would you say that now you utilize those skills in order to make your business profitable now?
100%. God has been sending people to help me. I had my first, like, not to brag or anything, but I had like my first like $5,000 week 2 weeks ago. And I remember when I used to make that in a year, like when in my wilderness, like $300 a month. 100% doing ministry. Like I'm betting on people giving, like they're tithing their seeds. Like that's what I was living off. And sometimes even buying ramen was difficult. And ramen's like, what, $2? I'm telling you, it was such a stripping. So when I look back in my accounts and looking at like coaching, and I'm looking at the account and I'm like, whoa.
And so moving along here briefly, I want to touch on how you got into TikTok. Like what, you know, have you always posted about God on your Instagram account? Did you begin having a social media talking about God, or did you have to go through a transition with that too?
I had to go through a transition. So I started off when I first decided to go on social media. And again, this was like right after the divorce, and I had like insecurity issues, and God was calling me to the forefront, and I was working on my confidence. I was healing, and I loved fashion. So I started off as a fashion content creator, and I was just showing hauls. I was doing hauls, Zara hauls, whatever haul fashion wise. And that's how I started. And when I moved to Nashville, that's when God was really stirring me up in regards to speaking. And I remember I would post a little about it on Instagram, but it wasn't really being received well, because when you're doing a pivot like that, when you're going from like being very secular and you're showing outfits and you're being a little sexy to now speaking about God, it's, you know, the audience that you were attracting beforehand may not receive the new information now. So you have to go through this like little season of just being consistent with that new topic that you're talking about, so people see that you're serious and this is who you are now. So then it just removes the people who are no longer interested, and it brings a new flock of people that are now inspired and want to learn from you. And I remember one friend of mine, his name is Solomon. He has a big platform on TikTok. He slid in my DMs because I posted a prophetic word on my Instagram. And he was like, Sarah, you need to be on TikTok. TikTok would receive you really, really well. And I did. And he was right. And that's whenever, you know, TikTok blew up in just regards to just releasing a prophetic word or anything that I noticed within the music industry or anything demonic or an encouraging word. It was really like whatever, like the Lord put in my spirit to teach and preach. And it was just really received well. So, yeah.
That was my favorite thing that you used to post when you would talk about the celebrities. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. I love celebrity, like, tea. I love talking about celebrities, like, and I know they are still very much human beings like we are, but yeah. I just love knowing about like their lives, like not in an exploitative way, but I just love knowing, like, and then I also love talking about the reality of the demonic things that are going on in the entertainment industry. I love that type of stuff. So that also really drew me to your platform. One of the things that I also really admire about you, Sarah, is your boldness. Like, for you to have transitioned within the past couple of years, you say, into, you know, getting into ministry, for you to have just stepped into your calling, releasing these prophetic words and doing things like that is very bold. Like, that really just shows like you're really allowing God to use you, and you were really using and stewarding your gifts well. I think no matter what it is that we feel, like, to be honest, I can sing, and it's not something I like to talk about because I still don't feel comfortable doing it. I like talking. I could talk, knock, knock, you know, but when it comes to singing, it's always been like a bit of something that I would get actual like stage fright of, and I don't get nervous talking. I could talk in a room full of a million people. I could talk at a stadium and I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
Zero nerves. Wow. But ask me to sing, I'm shaking, my throat's dry, all these different things. And so I don't want to leave the earth without, you know, when at the time of, you know, when I'm 103 and God says, you never sang, Aisha. And so I joined the praise and worship team in my church. And so there are times where I would lead songs and things like that. And so that like shaking feeling has left me now. So I got into the practice of doing it, but it's still not my favorite thing to do, but I do find there are moments that like I actually am kind of enjoying it. So that that forced me to have to step out in boldness too. But when it comes to releasing, like using your gifts and releasing these prophetic words, like I really want to commend you on stewarding your gifts from God well, and for allowing God to use you. It's really a beautiful thing. And the last thing I want to touch on is deliverance. Now, thanks to you, you actually introduced me to Naja, who I actually did have on the podcast, and Naja performed or my deliverance for me. And I want you to share what your opinion about deliverance is, because I know there are a lot of misconceptions out there in the Christian community.
Deliverance sets you free. I think that when I learned and I grew in my walk in Christ and I understood what deliverance was as far as certain strongholds that we may have, whether it's a soul tie, homosexuality, pride, alcoholism, all these things that the enemy may have as a stronghold, or even generational curses that we may possess, as far as like paying attention to your bloodline. If everyone's a drunk, if everyone's, can't have kids, or, you know, paying attention to the patterns in your bloodline, deliverance is really what's going to set you free from the plot and schemes of the enemy. So, especially is when you're walking in ministry, you have to have wise counsel around you. You need to have people that you can, not even a lot, just people that you can truly let your guard down and be honest and transparent in regards to what you struggle with and how you can be set free. Because when we step into ministry, the enemy is at our necks trying to make us fall and stumble. That's why you see so many ministers fall and you hear about these scandals and them being predators and all these things, is because the enemy was always stirring up something in it within them, and they didn't have a safe place to go to talk about their lust or their whatever private battles that they may be dealing with. And it's hard to do that when you have a platform in regards to really trusting one person, like, hey, this is what I privately struggle with. I need to be set free from that. But even for everybody, whatever it is that you're privately dealing with, it's called secret sin. Being set free from the enemy is such a freeing feeling. And it's a continuous walk. Like, even when you get deliverance, you have the strength to flee sin, but the temptations will always be there. The enemy's always trying to lure you back to a place that you've already been set free from.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. I 100% agree with that. And also, again, I'm going to reiterate that as believers, we absolutely do need deliverance. And I also am of the belief that we need deliverance yearly. Okay. It's a tune up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because again, the temptations for certain things will always be there, and we have to walk in, the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to really allow us to display the fruits to show that we are walking with God. But things happen. You know what I mean? We still do live in our flesh. And so things do happen. And so I want to encourage, and deliverance is free, by the way. It's not something that you pay for. So you don't have to worry about, anyone can get deliverance if you find someone. And also, don't just go to anyone, because a lot of people say a lot of things. So you have to have discernment as well. But I knew I was in good hands because, Naja came highly referred from you. But I want to say thank you so much for being on the show today, Sarah. It was an absolute pleasure speaking with you. And I really just pray that God continues to use you and, let his favor be upon you. And I'm so excited for all the great things that you are going to have in store, and then also that we're going to have in store, because there are a lot of things, there's more collaboration to go, okay? there definitely is. I will be sure to put all of Sarah's information down in the show notes. Again, she has a book that she popped up and showed us at the brunch. I was like, Sarah, wait a second, you released a book? What is going on? So girl, Sarah.
And we're doing a whole relaunch, because I think I told you in regards to just like the editing issues. So we're literally relaunching the book in January. So the book is not going to be available for the public until January, because the editor has to re-edit everything that the previous editor did not do. Talk about warfare, but it is what it is. So pre-orders are available for Wholesome Women January 15th, I believe, but I will give you more details later on.
Okay. Yes. Sounds good. I'll definitely put that in the show notes as well. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm excited to see what God has in store for you and for us in the future.
Thank you.
And with that being said, my loves, thank you so much for listening and taking the time out to spend with us on today. Let me know in the comment section down below, if you were watching this, who else you would like to have on the show, and whose testimony would you guys like to hear about, or what other topics would you like to hear about? Then with that being said, do not forget that I love you and God loves you, and I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.